You're listening to Rendezvous with a Writer with Bobby G.
Welcome to Rendezvous with a Writer, where readers and writers meet.
And story is everything.
We're your hosts tonight, Jim and Bobby Bell. You're just going to listen to Hot Texas Rhythm Band.
Hot Texas Swing Band.
Swing Band. Rhythm Band.
Drippin' Sweet Texas. Thank you, Alex Dormont, for allowing us to use that music to open and close every week. And if you are joining us tonight, do we have a show for you. This is episode 192. And of course, if you're catching it live, we are so happy you're here. If you're catching it as the podcast or the Podbean Audible, thank you for joining us. We are so excited. Jim, we have a full house tonight.
We do.
Who are our guests?
We have Henry Park, Food West Magazine.
Here comes Henry Park. Film expert, author, and a huge fan of... What are you a fan of?
Dark Shadows.
And who's else is with us?
Which is not a Western, if anyone is wondering.
We have Catherine Lee Scott. Dark Shadows and a million other things, actually.
Oh my gosh, we have Catherine Lee Scott. Oh, we are so excited to have you both with us tonight. Catherine, where are you joining us from?
I'm in the Hudson Valley, about an hour north of New York.
All right.
Very good.
And I think, Henry, we didn't ask you, where are you tonight?
I'm in Sherman Oaks or Van Nuys, depending on how you divide it.
Okay. And Jim, where are we broadcasting from tonight?
Well, I'll tell you. We're on this old estate. It's called Collinwood. And we've somehow found this old house in the back. It's dark and it's dusty. There are three boxes. Whoa, wait, they're coffins. I'm starting to open one up. And this long, bony hand is reaching out for me. I think I'm in trouble.
Jim, shut that down. Well, in case you haven't figured it out to our audience, we are celebrating tonight the 60th anniversary of Dark Shadows with our very special featured guests, Catherine Lee Scott and Dark Shadow fan Henry Park. And Catherine, we're going to do your bio in just a moment, but I'm sure you'd love to say hello to all our Dark Shadow fans that have maybe tuned in tonight and tell us what was the date of the premiere.
Oh, the first episode was broadcast June 27th, 1966. And I was in that episode. And I think your Dark Shadows fans will remember that my very first lines, I looked into the eyes of Victoria Winters and I said, "You're a jerk, J-E-R-K." And those were my first words on Dark Shadows. And I can't believe it was 60 years ago. It was... it was also the beginning of my acting career.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. That was your first line. Oh, my gosh. Well, Jim, tell us a little bit about Catherine for our guests that maybe are new to Dark Shadows, which is very possible. It's its 60th. There's a lot of hullabaloo about it.
And you've been new to Dark Shadows.
Well, people, you know, that are even younger than us, you know.
Other people
may be watching it for the first time. So tell us a little something about Catherine.
Writing and acting have always been Catherine's twin careers. Catherine grew up on a farm in Robbinsdale, Minnesota. Upon graduating from the American Academy of Dramatic Arts, Catherine landed a lead role in the classic gothic daytime drama, Dark Shadows, on ABC 1966 to 1971. And she started in the 1970 MGM feature, House of Dark Shadows.
You gotta watch it.
Catherine played four roles in the series: Maggie Evans, Josette Dupree, Lady Kitty Hampshire, and Rachel Drummond. Catherine wrote Dark Shadows Memories to coincide with its 20th anniversary, and Dark Shadows Companion as the 25th anniversary tribute.
And we're excited, to say the least, of having you. It's such an honor, Catherine. It's such an honor. You recently released, we're going to talk about a couple of books tonight, but you recently released Reflections, A Life in Writing. And Henry and I, you gifted it to the three of us. And Henry, I can't put it down. What about you?
Oh, it's fascinating. And because it's things that Catherine's written over her whole career, it really covers such an interesting period of history.
Oh, you're saying the things that a writer wants to hear. Oh, you know, I say that, you know, an actor craves an audience, and a writer really wants to be read. So thank you very much. I decided, now that I'm in my eighth decade, that there are so many things that I've written over the years that are out of print. And so I looked through all of the things that I had written, you know, for Opera News, for Fangoria, for so many different outlets, and the short pieces, and then excerpts from some of the books that I've written. So it was really fun to put together. It was like a very nice visit down memory lane. It was really fun. And I'm so glad you're enjoying it. That's wonderful.
It's They're so great.
Great. They're great.
You know, go ahead.
According to our book here, your writing career started back in junior high on the school newspaper.
I did. I was really lucky. I always knew that I wanted to be a writer. And I always say that when I was in second grade, I wrote a play about George Washington. And I gave Martha Washington all the good lines. That was me. And I wrote all the way through. We even had an elementary school newspaper that I wrote for. And then when I was 16, I interviewed Carl Sandburg, the Chicago poet. And I had read so much of his poetry already. And it was a wonderful opportunity. And the piece that I wrote won a state award. And then that same year, I went to Northwestern University on a scholarship when I was 16, part of their summer program, and immersed myself in theater. And I always knew that I wanted to do both. And that was sort of a turning point, because at that point, I knew that I just had to go to New York. So it was a big moment.
You know, you almost ran away from home, didn't you?
Oh my gosh. I finished up at Northwestern University, and I couldn't imagine after being on a university campus and with such a wonderful theater department, I couldn't imagine going back for my senior year in high school. So I wrote to my kid brother and asked him to empty out my savings account and send me the money, because I was going to get on a bus to Florida, to Miami, and I was going to get on a boat and go to Cuba, because they were having a revolution. I was the place to be. And I figured I knew how to drive a tractor, so I could harvest sugar cane.
Your parents must have been so thrilled.
I was thinking, my parents drove out with my kid brother in the back seat and picked me up the day after graduation. It was a long ride home, let me tell you. My father should have been in the fields, and there he was, you know, driving the Studebaker back to Robbinsdale, Minnesota.
How old were you at this point?
Yeah.
It's a fun story, and I couldn't help but write about it.
So, Catherine, how old were you at this point?
How old was I when I
when when I, when you were brought home from your almost trip to Cuba?
Oh, I was 16. It was 16.
I love it.
Big year. I think that 16 is a big year for a lot of kids, because You're just right on the cusp. You kind of had an idea of what you want to do. And the fact that I had won the two awards that year, I was just full of myself. And the idea of having to go back for my senior year of high school, never.
So what got you to New York City?
Well, I did go back for my high school senior year. At the last minute, I was pressed into service in this Robbinsdale Beauty Queen contest. It was called Miss Whizbang because Captain Billy Whizbangs, and you should know this, the famous magazine started in Robbinsdale, Minnesota. So anyway, and I won, I became Miss Robbinsdale, which meant that I couldn't bolt for New York. So at a year of college, and then the moment they crowned the new gal, I was on a milk flight to New York, and I got a scholarship to the American Academy of Dramatic Arts. And that was wonderful. So I left for New York. I think I had, I was 18 and, yes, I was 18 and not quite 19. And the first day in New York, I felt at home. I just loved it. And I still get this little bubble of excitement when the plane is coming in. I'm home again.
Yeah. So how did you and Dark Shadows meet?
When I graduated from the American Academy, an agent saw me in a school production, and Richard Bauman, and then I did a couple of off Broadway. I did a season of Summer Stock, but you know, Dark Shadows they were casting that show over a period of a couple of months, and all of us, the gals auditioned for the role of Victoria Winters. And then I went out to Universal for a screen test. And while I was there, my agent said, "You've got a screen test for Dark Shadows, get back." So I screen tested with Mitch Ryan, who got the role of Burke Devlin. And I knew that afternoon that I had the job, which was quite wonderful.
Yeah, Henry, I know you just got to have something to say, question or comment.
I just find it fascinating that your producer, Dan Curtis, could see in you as such a youngster that you had the ability to carry so much of the show, because so much of it rested on your shoulders.
You know, that's wonderful of you to say, but, you know, there were a number of us who were, this was our first time on camera. Alexandra Molka, who also graduated from the American Academy. I had never been on camera before. Nancy Barrett. A number of us. David Selby, Kate Jackson, who also graduated from the Academy. This was an incredible opportunity because Dark Shadows allowed us to use everything that we had learned in drama school, even costume drama, doing Molière and Strindberg and so on. And we got on Dark Shadows, and there we were time traveling to these other time periods. Yeah. It was really amazing. And then the opportunity to work with veteran actors, people like Joan Bennett, who was a legendary film star, and Grayson Hall, who was an Academy Award nominee for Night of the Iguana, Lewis Edmonds, Clarice Blackburn. To be able to work with actors who had done such a lot of stage work and film and television, and we learned from them. Yeah. It was wonderful. It also meant that we had to toe the mark, and we were live. We were live, so we were doing this without a safety net at all. You had one take, and it had to be perfect.
Yeah, this leads right into a fan question. So to fan Janet, if you are watching or listening, here are two quick questions, and they dovetail perfectly with what you were just talking about. The first one is, did you have a mentor? not necessarily in dark, you know, a mentor in your career. And the second, throughout your career, who did you admire for their craft?
Oh, those are really good questions. My mentor on Dark Shadows was Joan Bennett. Joan Bennett had four daughters, and there were four young women on the show. It was Alexandra, Nancy, Laura, and me. And Joan treated us like her own daughters. We were all about the same age as her daughters. And she would take us aside and talk to us if she didn't like our boyfriend. But she would also, for example, come up to me and say, "Katie, you know, when you're doing a close-up, just look at the downstage eye, because if you're looking back and forth at the two eyes, you're going to look crazy." You know, little things like that, you know, you learn from experience, but that's not something you learn in drama school. That's something you learn working. And Joan was wonderful, just wonderful in kind of taking us aside and giving us little tips like that. And I later had a mentor when I was living in England, Jane Douglas Ashton, who is wonderful. I would meet her at Carnegie Hall, or in at Wigmore Studios, and every Wednesday at 3 o'clock, and Jane would just teach me whatever she felt like teaching me, it was wonderful. We did scene work, we did everything. She was amazing. And among the actors that I have worked with, in terms of craft, I was so lucky to work with Dirk Bogarde in Providence, which was directed by Alain René. It was, we did it in France, but it was an English language film. And what a wonderful actor. David Warner, who was in the same film. I also worked with George C. Scott in The Last Days of Patton. I played his mistress. And he too, just extraordinary craft, and just and gifted and intuitive and wonderful. So and Jimmy Stewart probably tops the list. Worked with him in England at the Prince of Wales Theatre. We did Harvey, and I played the nurse. Yeah. And working with Jimmy was just wonderful. And we had lunch together. Every matinee day, he would come to my dressing room. We'd go to the same restaurant. We'd order the same meal, quiche with a side of salad. And on Wednesdays, I would pay. On Saturdays, he would pay. He would walk me back. And it was quite wonderful, because when we were doing it in London, it was also the time of all of the bombings. And so every once in a while, we'd come back to the theater, and it was under lockdown. And I felt like I was in this protective custody of this cowboy.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah. That was like your London and Paris days. Over in Europe for 7 or 8 years, as I remember. But
yes, when I finished with Dark Shadows, my contract was over before we did House of Dark Shadows, but I stayed on without a contract, and with Dan encouraging me to sign a new one. But I figured that 4 years was enough. And then I did House of Dark Shadows, and immediately after we finished doing the promotion, I went to Paris. And I'm so glad that I did, because Kate Jackson and Laura and David Selby and the others all went to Hollywood. I think I would have had a different career, but by doing what I did, working in Paris and then moving to London and working, I had a chance to do so many other varied things. I did rep at the Bristol Old Vic. I worked everywhere in Europe, and that was a thrill. And I think I've probably had a better life for having made that decision.
Yeah. Yeah, we're going to step away just for a moment for our first little break. But before I do, this same fan, Janet, also shared this comment. And I'm sure this speaks for many of us. My mother watched and I would watch as well. I was only about 7 or 8, but it was very real and scary to me. And my sister named her daughter Elizabeth Josette after the characters on the show.
Yeah.
Oh, we're going to just step away for a moment.
We have a shout out, just a little shout out for a few other fans that were watching. Renee, Tammy, Joy, Wendy, Tom, and Denise.
Thank you all. We are just going to step away. We have this question. Are you a writer? Here's a word from our sponsors, Blue Cottage Agency and Clicks by Madison. More about Dark Shadows with Catherine and Henry when we come back. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
You're invited to join the team. Up your author brand when you team up with Blue Cottage Agency and Clicks by Madison, specializing in author branding, digital book tours, book reviews, and social media. Experienced, trusted, effective. Get noticed. Visit BlueCottageAgency.com and ClicksByMadison.com. Proud sponsors of Rendezvous with a Writer.
Welcome back to Condom with a Writer. Special guest, Henry Bark. Catherine Lee Scott. Catherine, could you tell us a little bit about that tune we were just listening to?
Oh, I'm so glad you played that. That was composed by Bob Cobert. And Bob composed all of the Dark Shadows music. He also composed Josette's theme. So imagine being 19 years old and doing a television series and loving every minute of it, and then getting your own theme. I now use Josette's theme as my telephone ring.
Oh, that's fun. Well, Henry, do you remember when you raced home and you turned on the TV and that music came on? And did you just sit back? Did you pop some popcorn or anything? Or did you just...
There was no time. I had a school that got out kind of late, so... Popcorn had to wait. But I really
think that, you know, Bob Cobert's music was, I can't imagine the show without it. And Sybil Weinberger did, she was in the control booth and did all of those stings, you know, when something big was happening. And Bob Cobert was just a wonderful composer. So we were really fortunate to have him.
I'm holding
it
up.
Created such an atmosphere.
Oh,
it just
didn't it?
Put you
yeah, in. Very evocative. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, you just knew something was coming. And we are playing two clips tonight, and they are from The Dark Shadows, the 30th Anniversary Collection. And this has Quentin's theme, and it just has really, really great. I would encourage you, if you're a Dark Shadows fan, this is one of the albums available that you will want to have in your music library.
I want one of those.
Let's see. I think I'm just looking at time and we're fine, but we want to, I think, Henry, what do you think? We should just get right into what's happening with the 60th anniversary. Unless, Henry, do you have a comment or a question you'd like to raise before we move into that?
Well, part of the atmosphere of the show, of course, was all the dark shadows. And somebody posted a clip on YouTube that I was just watching, the moment when the show went from black and white to color, which was while you were hypnotized, I believe.
Yes. Oh, and I remember. I did not really live, but we were in black and white. And I remember when we made that transition, everybody was so worried we would have to wear green makeup or we would have to do all of these adjustments. And on the day, with the big transition, we just did the same thing that we had done when we were doing black and white. It was really interesting when we went to color. I think that's also when our audience grew.
Well, we could see the colors of all of your eyes.
You have and all costumes.
When yes.
We were, like, those costumes were just wonderful.
Yeah. Do you want to ask the one makeup question? Maybe we should.
The makeup question. Well, yeah. To get this in.
Since we're talking about color.
Makeup question. Okay. How did they get duplicated? How did they do the vampire bite?
Oh, you know, can you believe this? We were so lucky. We had Dick Smith, and he was just a young guy, and Dan loved his work. And he came on the show. He created the vampire bite that I wore. He also, Vinny Lascalzo was our other makeup man. And there was one day when I came into the studio and they had a clothes dummy on a dais, and they were filming this dummy, and I said, "What's that about?" And they said, "It's the ghost of Josette Dupre." And Bob Costello, our producer, said, "What do you think of it?" And I said, "Well, it looks like a clothes dummy." Well, I ended up standing in for the clothes dummy, and then the makeup they came up with, they took a ping pong ball and they drew an eyeball on it. And they glued the half a ping pong ball onto my cheekbone. I had white makeup on with all kinds of green things. And I was meant to look like Josette Dupre after she jumped off Widow's Hill. And I guess brown. And dropped on all of those, the rocky shore. I was a mess. But it was just amazing, the kind of makeup that we did. It was not the sort of thing you saw on any other kind of a soap.
Really? Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
To tell you about that scar, Dark Shadows fans know this story, but Dick Smith, that night his wife was making a veal piccata, and he said, "May I have one of those veal pieces?" And he took it, and he took a meat fork and stabbed it and used that veal with the two holes in it as the to make the plaster cast. So essentially, so it's a slice of veal on my neck with two holes.
That's so fun.
Yeah, those are usually always funny stories.
That is so fun. So there are two big things that are going along now, Catherine, as part of the 60th anniversary.
Yes.
One is a special book, and I think you have a copy of it. I'm going to hold up. I made a copy, but yes.
Right. It's Dark Shadows Legacy. It's £3. It's 259 pages. It is hardcover.
Gorgeous.
This beautiful cover was designed by Mark Maddox, who will be at the festival. And my co-writer is the wonderful screenwriter, John Logan. And we did this book together. He's a super Dark Shadows fan. He used to run home from school to watch it. I'm so excited about this book. And it's now on Amazon for pre-order. But our Dark Shadows Festival is going to be held July 31st and August 1st, Friday and Saturday. And it'll be at the LAX Westin Hotel, right near the airport. And you can still register for this. We're going to have so many of the Dark Shadows actors there. And of course, meet and greets. And we're going to do some performances, the actors will. And some screenings it's going to be wonderful. I'm really excited about it. Yeah. And I can tell you who's coming. David Selby, Kate Jackson, Roger Davis, Jerry Lacey, Marie Wallace, Jim Storm, Lisa Richard, Sharon Smith. So many of the actors are going to be there, including actors that were in the 1991 NBC primetime series. So We're going to fill up those 2 days with all the fun you can imagine. Just, you know, sharing stories and just meeting everybody, doing autographs. We've been doing these festivals since 1983, 1 year on the East Coast, 1 year on the West Coast. But I think that this year is our final big festival. So If you haven't been to one before, now would be your chance.
Yeah.
You know, if I'm correct, on Saturday.
You can. Excuse me?
I would say, am I correct, on Saturday, the fans get to have lunch with the
yes,
cast?
Yes, we've got a big sort of gala lunch. And again, all of the actors will be there, the actors sitting at tables with fans. And you can still register for both the weekend. You can come one day if you want. And also for the luncheon, you go on Eventbrite and just look up Dark Shadows 60th Anniversary. And it'll take you right to the site, and you can register. We're almost sold out on the luncheon, so you have to be quick.
Yeah.
On Sunday, there's a bus trip to the house that was used in the 2012 film.
That's right. That's right. And it's a famous mansion, and in just right on the edge of Beverly Hills. So there'll be a tour there, which I know everybody is looking forward to. But it's a wonderful old mansion. It's not Collinwood, but it stood in for Collinwood.
Yeah. Oh, this is so fun. We're going to step away one more time for our second and final break. Real quickly, we're going to tell you about one of the places that you can order the books of many of Rendezvous with a Writer's guests, all the way back to show one, including tonight's guests. You can find them on the bookshop Out West Bookshop affiliate page at bookshop.org. More with Catherine and Henry when we come back. Just going to be away a moment, and we'll be right back. Don't go away.
Story is everything. Find a great one on Out West Shop's Bookshop. Go to outwestshop.com, find books and CDs on the menu, choose Shop Out West on bookshop.org. Browse through featured authors on Rendezvous with a Writer. Explore curated book lists and our featured picks. Add in note cards, calendars, and jigsaw puzzles. One-stop shopping for great gifts. Use the search box to find thousands more titles. Make the switch. Your purchase supports us as independent booksellers. That's our story.
Oh my God, I almost reached for my telephone. That is Joe Zed's theme. And I hear it every time my phone rings. I just love that music. And by the way, it's Joe Zed's theme was the music in the music box. And one of the other big exciting things, I think I'm allowed to say, that the music box is going to be available again. MPI has made the music box available, and it keeps selling out. So we will have those available as well.
Very fun. You had a question for Henry?
I have a question for Henry. Henry, I'm kind of putting you on the spot, and you can say I don't remember, but wasn't there a favorite movie that Catherine was in that you remember her from?
Well, you know, it's funny, we haven't talked about this, and I'm not sure if this is what you're referring to. Is it The Great Gatsby we're talking about?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, that was really fun. When I was living in London, it was one of the very first things that I did. The Great Gatsby with Mia Farrow and Robert Redford and Sam Waterston. And I played Karen Black's sister, or I played the role of Catherine. And it was a wonderful role. I loved doing it. And the great director, Jack Clayton, directed it. It was an absolute treat to be working out at Pinewood with all of these wonderful actors. Yes. Yeah. Every once in a while, I run into Sam Waterston. I had most of my scenes with him, so it was lovely.
What a life you've lived.
Yeah.
As you say, Jack Clayton was a wonderful director, and it is so far and away the best version of Gatsby.
I agree. I absolutely agree. Bruce Dern was in it. It was just a superb cast. Scott Wilson. Scott Wilson and I were friends until the day he passed away. I just adored him. And I actually stayed friends with a couple of people from that cast. It was really quite wonderful.
We have another fan question.
Okay.
How did you get the name Scott as your last name?
Oh, oh dear. When I was at the American Academy, there was an agent who did nothing but commercials, and she was elderly, hard of hearing. And when I went in to see her, she said, "Oh, I've got something for you. There's a hairspray commercial." And she called the casting director while I was in the office and said, "Oh, I've got somebody perfect for you. And her name is Catherine." And I said, "Kringstad. That's my family name." And she said, "What?" Anyway, to make this long story short, there was a box of Scott tissues on her desk. And so she told the casting director, my name was Catherine Scott. And I got the job. It was the first commercial audition I had been on. And so that also meant I could join Screen Actors Guild. I went to Screen Actors Guild and I had got the job as Catherine Scott. So, and I was too dumb to realize that, of course, I could use my own. I just had to tell the woman my own name. But she said, "Oh, we've already got a Catherine Scott. You'll need a middle name." Wow. Right. Vivian Lee was doing Tvarich on Broadway. And the Screen Actors Guild clerk loved Vivian Lee. So she said, "Lee, that's your middle name." So I ended up naming Catherine Lee Scott. I've regretted it because all I had to do was say, no, actually, that's not my name, but I didn't. And then I got Dark Shadows and
there you were. And if you are enjoying stories like that Catherine just shared, you want this book because Henry, right? Because
absolutely,
every chapter just takes you right with her through her life, and it's an amazing story. Very engaging, very entertaining and informative. And congratulations, Catherine, because I know this is brand new. And so this is the newest in your book list of
I have to say, I was it's a very personal book. I didn't expect, I thought, well, family and friends, for an entire week, it was a bestseller in three categories on Amazon. And it's really selling very, very well, which I'm thrilled about. And that means that it's word of mouth, and that's the best kind of promotion you can have.
Absolutely.
When people say, "Oh, I read this and it's great. You got to read it."
Yeah.
So thank you.
I know that you came up with some really fun questions.
Hey, all sorts
and
of
we
questions.
Have a few minutes to throw one of those fun questions out.
We talked about the other night, particularly when you were on Dark Shadows, about getting a lot of fan mail.
Oh, yeah.
Did you get a lot of letters coming in?
We got a tremendous number of letters, and big bags of them and boxes of them would end up in the rehearsal room in the corner. And we were meant to answer all of these. Joan Bennett, who was so disciplined and so principled, she would actually spend her weekends and she would answer these. And I tried to follow her example, and I would take, a big batch of them home with me. But you can imagine the fan mail that Jonathan Frid was getting. And he got proposals of marriage in his fan mail. You can't believe it. But it was, I think that's when we realized that the show was becoming a big success.
Mm-hmm. It was having an impact. Henry, do you have a question or comment?
Yes. Well, you know, just talking about the discipline of having to answer all those letters. A. Martinez told me that there's a special camaraderie among actors who have done, am I allowed to say soap operas, or is that a pejorative?
Yeah, it's okay.
Okay. The incredible discipline that day-to-day work, the day-to-day work of learning a new script every day demands. Do you feel that way? Is there a special kinship?
I there are so many actors who started out, including, Amy Ryan I can't start naming names, but there are so many actors that start out on soap operas. It's the best training in the world. It's like summer stock. You have to learn a new script. You have to be, back in the day, you had to be really solid with it. Now I know it's a bit different. They shoot in a different way. But back in my time, to be working live and learning a new script every day, and also the pace of it, because we came in at 8 o'clock in the morning, did a read through, blocked it, went down, did a camera blocking, did a run through, what we call the stumble through, which was the dress rehearsal, and then we went live. So you had precious little time to rehearse. You really had to be alert and on top of it. Also, because after the stumble through, when we all went back in the rehearsal room, the director would give you notes, and very often lines would be cut because of the timing. So you were going back out there and, sometimes a fresh set of lines, sometimes with deleted lines. So a lot that could go wrong did go wrong. And of course, we're known for our bloopers. There's a blooper reel out there to humiliate us unto eternity because so many things went wrong.
Yeah.
Did you ever make up your own lines to fill in a spot there?
Yes. There was one occasion, and I don't know what happened to this because I have never seen it, but I'm not making this up. David Ford played my father, Pops. And he was doing 1776 on Broadway at the time.
Oh, one of my favorite shows. Yeah.
All of his lines and do the show. But in any case, a bit of flashing from one of the studio lights broke off and fell down between us. And without missing a beat, David Ford looked up and said, Maggie, we're going to have to call the roofer. We just hurried on. It happened frequently. You could see that the other actor had gone up, and even though we had a teleprompter, you'd have to kind of fill in. And again, it was like doing summer stock. I mean, we couldn't stop. We were live, so right. We could not stop.
Yeah.
And you just had to deal with it.
When did you get to see the episodes?
We got to see the episodes several days after they were done. It was a process called kinescope, which means that a camera is filming a monitor in the control room, so that there is a recording. It's actually just a recording of it. Those were mailed out to all of the affiliates by mail, by post office and postal service. So we got to watch the air show, as we called it, maybe 4 or 5 days later. And we could go in the green room and sit and watch it if we didn't have to be in the rehearsal room. So it was amazing in the beginning. All of us tried to watch as many as possible. But after a while, there are so many of the episodes. I would say maybe 80% of the shows that I did, I've never seen.
Oh, yeah, we wondered.
That's typical. That's typical of actors. There are a lot of actors that never want to watch their work.
Yeah. You have a very fun podcast featuring David Selby, Susan Sullivan. I'm a huge fan of Susan Sullivan. If she's watching, I love you. Granville Van Dusen and you, and it's called, it's so fun, Smartphone Theater.
Yep.
What friends do the old and the restless?
Right.
How can people find that? This.
You know, we started doing, all of us are in our 80s. And our director, by the way, Asad Kalata, I think he's 90. I don't know, maybe I'm making that up. No, we started doing this during COVID because there was less work. And we also wanted to stay in touch. I worked with David Selby in Dark Shadows. Susan worked with him in Falcon Crest. And we've all worked together over the last 60 years. So Susan and Connell, her significant other, write these, and we rehearse them. We're in four different time zones. We work on StreamYard, and we do these half-hour shows. And they are so much fun to do.
They are very fun.
We're going to be on this level, but
can't believe the time. I can't believe the time. So we just have to jump to this now. So Henry, where can people find you and get your book and such?
Okay, well, of course, they can get my book from you.
Bookshop.org. Yes, indeed.
Right. And they can find me in True West every issue and all over the INSP Network's blog, and of course at Henry's Western Roundup, the online report on Western film production.
And Catherine, where is the best place for people to go to find out what's happening with you?
www.catherineleescott.com. It's my full name at catherineleescott.com. And also all of my books, all of them, and there are about 20, are on Amazon.
And so, that's including your wonderful books on lobby cards.
Oh, yes. Thank you. My coffee table books. Yes.
Many of them are on bookshop.org as well. Let's see. Jim, do you have a quick quote? Looking at time, a quick quote?
We have time. We have a voice at the beginning of each episode of Dark Shadows. My name is Victoria Winters. My journey is beginning, a journey to link my path with my future. We were watching all these Dark Shadows shows the other day. It kept going, obviously, it kept sticking in our mind as we watched these shows.
We want to thank you. Thank you all for being with us tonight. Thank you, Catherine. It was
Thank you.
There you go. And Henry, of course, we're always so delighted to have you join us.
Always,
and we want to thank all the fans that have are watching live or are going to catch this down the road, and all of our fans that just come in regularly. We can't do this without you. You are why we do this. Yeah. They're why we read. Isn't that right? And we want to thank Sam Hassan, LA Talk Radio's founder, and again tonight, our DJ and engineer, our sponsors, Blue Cottage Agency and Clicks by Madison, Alex Dormont, of course, and the Hot Texas Swing Band, who open and close the show every week. And next week, we have a full house once again with two authors, kind of new voices in Western fiction. One is also a publisher. Bruce Sibley will be with us. He is a publisher with Henry Gary Publishing, and we'll be talking about his book, The Last Stage, which is a really riveting thoughts about what Wyatt Earp was thinking as life was flashing by in his final hours. It's a wonderful book. Bruce is also a publisher, and he's the publisher of this brand new book. Well, The Last Stage is brand new also, but Wasted. And there's a lot of buzz around Sam F. Park and this new book, the tagline, When Hope is Gone, Hell Breaks Loose, Wasted. And we are excited to have both his publisher, Bruce, and Sam with us next week. You have a closing thought?
You know, we appreciate you folks being on tonight. It's been a great show. Thank you again. And as we always say, it's a great day out west.
Keep writing.
We'll keep reading.
We'll see you down the trail. Thank you. Thank you. Good night.
Good night.